Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
IDF ground forces operating beyond the yellow line in Lebanon. What is happening there? What is happening in terms of Hamas as well? Has Hamas in Gaza used this opportunity to smuggle more arms into the region? Joining us is Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch. A very, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're well.
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. Let's start off with what is happening in Lebanon. And there's obviously, we know, a lot of activity there. Israel has upped it a more than just a notch. We're also seeing, unfortunately, some terrible fatalities on Israel's side. Give us a sense of what is really going on there.
So what we're seeing in Lebanon is the continuation of Hezbollah's war against Israel, the continuation of Iran's proxy war against Israel. They've never stopped. They haven't for 1 minute actually adhered to any of the ceasefire agreements. They've been breaching Resolution 1701 since 2006. Hezbollah is committed with Iran to the destruction of Israel. And so that's the context in which we then need to discuss anything else that's going on. The continued fighting up north, the use of Hezbollah, of these fiber optic drones, which are really taking a very, very high toll on Israeli soldiers and Israeli civilians. They're attacking civilian houses in the north. This is what's happening on an almost daily basis. So when we then say that Israel is now operating in southern Lebanon, wherever it may be, whether it be within the yellow line, beyond the yellow line, all of these actions are there and designed to ensure that our civilian population in the north isn't under constant attack from these genocidal terrorists. And so a yellow line here or there is irrelevant. It depends on where the threat is emanating from. That's international law. And any other restriction that we place upon ourselves is something which we may or may not choose to adhere to. That's really the situation that's going on.
Besides, it seems completely ridiculous to be talking about any lines as recognized by the United Nations or international law when Hezbollah itself and Lebanon hasn't respected those. It seems as though they've completely ignored any form of resolution, any form of peace agreement. It seems a bit unreasonable to ask Israel to adhere to it. Surely,
that's quite right. I mean, Lebanon has the government. Lebanon has a body that is responsible for all of the actions that come out of Lebanon. The government of Lebanon. And I always hear these excuses, well, they're weak, they're not capable. The government of Lebanon is in charge of Lebanon. Had they desired to dismantle Hezbollah, they would have done so. But the positive choice that they've made, whilst simultaneously virtue signaling that they are in peace discussions with Israel, is that Hezbollah will remain a dominant force in Lebanon. Hezbollah will continue to dominate the Lebanese government. Hezbollah will continue to drag Lebanon into this war and into destruction because they just don't care.
Talk to me about these ballistic guided drones. Netanyahu made reference to it in a speech saying that he has a unit or there's a special focus on it. Indicating that this is obviously a major concern for Israel and for the IDF.
Yeah, without question. There is constantly new weaponry in the use of the terrorists. The drone use that we're seeing is something which has been extensively used also in the Russia-Ukraine war, and without a solution there either. It's something which is causing tremendous mayhem and death and damage. And at the moment, there doesn't seem to be a clear solution as to how to combat them, how to neutralize them effectively. So that's what we're looking at the moment. And we're looking at these terrorist groups constantly looking to develop and use weaponry, sometimes in new ways, sometimes in different ways, in order to promote and forward their war. And it's not always the case that there is an immediate response. Mm. And sometimes it actually takes a very long time.
How significant is Hezbollah's current military capability compared to, for example, the pre-October the 7th? I mean, we know it was weakened at some stage. Is that still meaningful, or was that really just a disruption?
Well, so the question is really how you estimate and evaluate Hezbollah's capabilities. The discussions pre-October 7 were that Hezbollah had a missile arsenal of 150,000 missiles of different kinds, whether they be ballistic missiles, whether long range, short range, and so obviously even if we managed to take out 90% of those weapons, it means that they're still left with 15,000 weapons to carry on attacking. And that's putting aside the drone capabilities, which are a new and additional capability, which isn't even part of that function. So we know that Hezbollah has taken a massive hit from the level of the leadership downwards, obviously eliminating Hassan Nasrallah and the rest of that leadership group was a key part of that war. And taking out many of their weapons and their capabilities in southern Lebanon now as well, and we're seeing massive tunnel infrastructures, really the same Gaza-type terrorist infrastructure in southern Lebanon. And so much of that has been destroyed. The problem is that they're still left with substantial capabilities and not only the ability, but also the intent to cause damage. And that's where we're really facing the greatest of the difficulties.
And surely the only way to really deal with this is to cut off the funding which is coming from Iran. Without funding, Hezbollah doesn't have the ability to regroup and restock.
So the funding is, of course, important, and it is important to cut that off. But I believe that there are other alternatives. If the Lebanese government came to the understanding that it was more detrimental for them to allow Hezbollah to carry on attacking Israel than it was to fight Hezbollah effectively, then I think we would also see a tremendous change. And I know people possibly laugh and joke about Minister Smotrich's suggestion that if for every drone that Hezbollah fires, Israel attacks another 10 targets in Beirut, then maybe something will change. Mm. Obviously, we're not talking about randomly attacking. We're talking about attacking legitimate military targets that should and could be destroyed under international law. And that would pass on the right message, I believe, to the Lebanese government. You need to fight Hezbollah, otherwise it's going to be to your detriment. There is no reason, for example, that the airport in Beirut should still be functioning. No reason whatsoever. It's been part of that arming process from Iran to Hezbollah. It's used by Hezbollah, and it is a legitimate military target. And yet we haven't gone there yet. We haven't done that yet.
I think there is a lot
more that we could do.
It's so interesting. I was going to, one of my questions I wanted to put to you was what is the route that because obviously there's the funding issue, but there's also the logistics. It can't be that simple, you know, but I'm imagining over land, through the sea, smuggling. You are saying that they are simply flying in weapons to the airport in Beirut.
There's been use of all of those different routes that you described, Howard. Everything from from land routes via Syria before the before Assad was toppled, and since then using the lawlessness of Syria, via the sea, via air, everything possible Iran has used in order to bring those capabilities to Hezbollah. And it's not only Iran. Iran using other countries as well, purchasing weaponry and sending that weaponry to Hezbollah. This is something which is very much all-encompassing. And it's something which Israel could do so much more against, that the international community could do so much more to combat, and yet we just don't. It's almost as if everybody wants Hezbollah to carry on surviving.
So why do you think that Israel won't? What is holding Israel back?
So there's constantly been these outside factors that are holding Israel back. As part of the 2006 deal, the U.S. Decided or took upon itself providing the Lebanese army with almost $250 million of aid every year so that it would fight Hezbollah. So obviously the Americans didn't want Israel getting involved because we're taking care of it, so they say. But they weren't really taking care of it. The French and the Europeans have all of their reservations about Israel's activities in southern Lebanon, in Beirut, and their criticism. But they also do nothing about it. France could really use much more influence in Lebanon than it actually does. So you have all of these international actors getting involved and really inhibiting Israel from doing what it should and needs to do, and then you add in the ridiculous terror supporting institution that's called the Security Council of the United Nations, with China and Russia sitting there and all rubbing their hands together as they again castigate Israel for defending itself against these genocidal terrorists. And there you have an international picture of let's defend Hezbollah and Iran against Israel's right to self-defense. That's, I think, what we're seeing.
We really are. And it's just incredible the amount of madness that we are living through. It is 8:52. That is where we do need to leave it. Thank you, as always, for that perspective.